Welcome to Dish the Dirt, a light-hearted and fun podcast about Australian flower growers, their stories, knowledge and insights into the industry. I'm your host Rebecca, and each week I speak to a different farmer and get them to dish the dirt. Dish the Dirt acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which we work and live, and recognise their continuing connection to land, water and community. We pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Hello and welcome along to Season 7, Episode 5 of Dish the Dirt. This week I speak to Zoe Field from Field of Roses, which is situated in New Zealand. But before I get into that, we have the calendars out now for 2023, and any profit made from the calendars is going towards our event called The Biggest Smoko, which there will be information coming out in January about that for farms wanting to be part of this fundraising mission called The Biggest Smoko, which is raising funds for farmers who have been affected by natural disasters. So yeah, there'll be a whole lot of information coming out in January, and if you're wanting to be part of that, just keep a lookout on the Instagram. And yeah, and I'll be talking about it a little bit on the podcast too. So we also have tickets for Industry Day up, and they are via the link in the Instagram also. So that's happening on the 25th of February in New South Wales at Southern Highlands Flower Farm. We have the Wildflower Australia is coming along and they're setting up a stand, and also Grown Not Flown will be there chatting about what they're doing. So there's a few amazing things to see and do on that day, so we'd love to see you there. Anyway, this week I jump the ditch and I speak to Zoe Field from Field of Roses. Field of Roses is a small flower farm and floral design studio led by farmer florist, mother and daughter duo, Zoe and Sue Field. Nestled in the beautiful Wainangi Valley, just outside of Gisborne, New Zealand, Field of Roses was established in 2012 after Zoe had an idea to plant a field of roses on her family farm, alongside with an assortment of flowering annuals and perennials that all lend themselves to their wild and romantic designs. They do a bit of everything: weddings, everyday bouquets, workshops, wholesale, and most recently released their book, Lost and Found, filled with lots of flower inspiration for any flower lover. I have links in the show notes for Zoe's book if you would like to buy that, and a few other things mentioned in the podcast. So once you've finished listening to this episode, head to the show notes and you'll be able to find it all there. I love the end of this episode. It's a beautiful episode. Thank you, Zoe. And Zoe talks about using her creativity when feeling a bit burnt out. And yeah, it's a beautiful, lovely, soft episode. And I really appreciate your time, Zoe. So let's get into it. If you want to get me started on whereabouts you are in New Zealand, that would be amazing.
Okay, we are based just outside of Gisborne, about 20 minutes in the Wainaki Valley.
Yeah.
So I think I'm the fourth generation now on our family farm.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of where we're based. And it's usually mainly been like a cattle and beef farm. So the flowers are kind of like this new addition that we've kind of added to it.
Mm. Yeah, great. How much are you farming on? How many hectares?
Okay, I literally thought you would ask this question. I said, Mom, remind me to find out how much we grow on because I'm going to forget. I think she said 0.8 hectares. Does that sound right? Does that sound like something?
I don't know. I always get confused with like hectares and acres. You know, like how many acres fit into a hectare anyway, all of that stuff. So you're in Gisborne. Can you just explain sort of what the climate's like up in that region? Because I know it can be, is it a bit tropical sometimes or is it quite cold?
It's varying. So I find at the moment it's just been so, so wet.
Mm.
But usually it's nice and dry. It's actually a really lovely climate actually for growing in.
Mm.
We get a bit of frost out on the farm, but really it's how would I describe? So we're close to the ocean, so we get a nice sea breeze, and so it's not, it doesn't get too crazy hot. It is a nice climate, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and lovely. And how did you start? So your family's got cattle and beef on the farm, and you're fourth generation, but where do you come into the picture, and how did you start growing flowers?
Okay, it's a bit of a long story.
That's okay, that's what we're here for. We love a long story.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, flower farming's kind of always been something I've wanted to do. Even as a child, I actually visited a flower farm when I was like 8 years old or something on a school trip. So I always kind of had this idea in my mind. And so after school, I worked at a couple of flower farms, one of them being the one that I visited as a child.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I loved working outside. I loved all the flowers. And I also worked for a foliage grower too, so that was fun. And I learned so much about just how to ship things and how to grow everything and all that sort of thing. So I kind of wanted to learn more about the whole industry.
Mm.
So I went to study floristry up in Hamilton for a year.
Oh, lovely.
And, yeah, and then I came home and I got a job working in a florist shop. And I was working at the florist shop, and a family friend wanted some flowers done for her daughter's wedding. And so I was very excited. It was going to be my first wedding. And so roses were going to be very seasonal. So I thought I'll reach out and I'll do like a beautiful bouquet of garden roses. And so
I reached out to
all the wholesalers and the markets and everything in emails and phone calls, and discovered that there were no garden roses sold in New Zealand. I kind of, you know, went to mom and dad and said, you know, there's a real market here. Like, I can't be the only one who wants to play with garden roses and design with them. And so, it sort of started from that point and, grew from there.
Yeah. What year was that?
So I think I kind of had the idea sort of 2011, and then 2012, we really started to kick into it.
Yeah. I've got a funny story. I'm pretty sure that I contacted you when I was doing a wedding in New Zealand, because same thing, I couldn't find anything anywhere. And you were like, sorry, I'm in the North Island. And I was, my wedding was way down south. But I know that it's just changed so much over the last that was about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's changed so much in that
time.
Yeah, amazing. So around you, are there any other flower farmers?
So there's a couple of just like old school flower farmers who sort of do the just bulk foliage or bulk flowers.
Mm.
So, and then there's a couple, that I can think, like Rhonda, who I do a lot of workshops with, she has Floriforms. She has a sort of a similar setup to us.
Yeah.
And Moose Cottage, she has a lovely little sort of cut garden area and she makes bunches for the farmers market and things like that. So there is sort of a little community around here.
Yeah, lovely. So going back, you said to your parents, let's put in some garden roses. And then what happened from there?
We had no idea what we're doing. Literally no idea. And I remember, because there wasn't a lot of information back then, I remember I sort of Googled outside rose farm sort of thing, and finding this place in the UK who were kind of doing something we wanted to do, and like Google mapping their plot and like zooming down on this pixelated
picture,
trying to see how they'd laid everything out. And so we were really in the dark. We didn't really even know what roses were going to last or anything like that. So we just had a whole lot of fun. We just pulled out all the David Austin Rose books and flicked through and circled everything we loved. And we went down to a nursery and chose out a few varieties that really stood out to us. Mm. And it was really just trial and error, really. We just planted and then from that point we tested after that, sort of Bars Life and things like that.
Yeah. And how many roses did you start off with, and how many do you think you have now?
So we started off with 500.
Okay.
That's and quite a lot.
Yeah, especially when you don't know how they're going to last, how they're going to ship. We just we're like, you know what? We're just going to make this work. So we started with 500, and then I think we doubled the field to about just over 1,000. And just this year, we've downscaled a bit because I just think it's – I don't think we're quite positioned in the right spot to – now that there's so many other people kind of doing it, it's better that we just sort of downscale and kind of focus more on our design work and stuff and less, like, bulk supply of roses.
Okay, yeah. So when you first started flower farming and when you put in your roses, what were the things that you considered? Did you look at your farm and sort of find the perfect spot for them? Did you put in irrigation? What were the things that you sort of thought that you needed to do first?
So pretty much Dad said you can have this section of the farm, and it was a sort of a slope that he'd once had apples on a long time ago. So it's quite clayey soil. So that, which actually the roses don't mind too much, it actually. So we sort of mapped it out on that little patch and irrigated. Dad's great at DIYing, all those sorts of things.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, and that's kind of pretty much how we set it out. We had many drawings, many different layouts, kind of just, you know, it kind of grew as we planted.
Yeah, and were there any sort of, was there any government incentive to start a flower farm back then? Was there anything that you could kind of get help with from the New Zealand industry?
Not that I was aware of.
Okay.
There could have been. I never look into those sorts of things. I'm just kind of like, right, I've got an idea, I'm just going to go at it. Yeah. I don't really kind of look around at those sorts of things. There might have been. I was unaware of it when we started.
Yeah. And so from putting in your 500 roses, what has been, I guess, the biggest learning curve with your roses? Have you had any pests that have kind of come through and you've had to deal with? How do you deal with anything that sort of comes through as well? Do you use chemicals and all of that stuff?
So when we first started, it's like you kind of first start and the bugs and things haven't quite found you just yet.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. And then as the years go by, it's sort of like, I remember like we for so many years, we never had rust in the field.
Yeah.
And so we had all these, like, my favorite rose is like Evelyn, but like I recently just had to pull her out because we got we got like rust 5 years in. And so that kind of, that was a battle we kind of lost and have started to pick varieties that, you know, are less susceptible to it.
Yeah.
And like we never had thrips. Now we have this huge, we battle thrips. So we use beneficial bugs, we order some in and they've been really helpful.
Yeah.
We tried a few sprays, but it didn't really work, but the beneficial insects have really made a big difference.
Yeah.
We're pretty organic, except I never say we're fully organic because we do use one spray, which is a cystain that we use every now and then. It's a fungicide, helps with all that sort of stuff. I mean, to be honest, mum is like, this is mum's realm, all this stuff.
Yeah, okay, good.
but I'm doing my best going on out there. But yeah, I do know amazing. She does use that.
Do you know the company that you get your beneficial bugs through in New Zealand?
Bioforce. I'm pretty sure it's okay. Called Bioforce, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Just for New Zealand growers if they're wanting to find anyone. So what sort of been your hardest lesson, do you think?
I wouldn't say our hardest lesson is necessarily being anything growing oriented. I would say my hardest lesson has actually just been the frustration of where I live.
Okay.
We live in a very small town. So in order for us to get any product anywhere, we really have to ship everything because we cannot rely on a local market.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that's been kind of I'm always having to think of ways to move our product, but it's kind of difficult. It's not like I have just a market on the door or florist at the door. I have to actually physically ship everything. And and I guess there's more flower farms established around New Zealand. I guess there's less demand. I don't feel like there's less demand for us, but there is, like, it's so much better if you can get something like straight off the farm, picked in a bucket, as opposed to being shipped overnight.
Yeah.
So I do feel like that's where I get frustrated with the business in a sense. And just trying to figure out ways in which I can get creative with our flowers that can, so I don't have to necessarily always rely on that, shipping them out and that sort of thing. So that's why we kind of got into the workshops. That's why we got into the weddings and things like that. But
yeah,
that's kind of been our biggest hurdle, is just getting the flowers out of Gisborne.
Yeah, of course. And how do you ship garden roses?
So we ship them overnight on a truck.
Yeah.
So we box them up. We used to box everything up in hydrangea bags, but just to help with the moisture, just to keep, you know, so they didn't dry out or anything. But we found that you don't really need to do that. We just tissue the box, line the box with tissue paper, and then we wet pack every single stem, every single bunch, and wrap it in tissue. We don't use any plastic.
Yeah.
And so we box it up and we drop it in at the trucking company, and they have chillers there, so the boxes just wait in the chillers till they're loaded onto the truck, and then they're shipped over overnight, driven up overnight, generally to Auckland. Auckland's our main market. We have a few florists up there that we supply.
Yeah, incredible. So I guess maybe in this hardest lesson, maybe was your biggest success, because it sounds like you've been able to diversify your business quite well.
Exactly.
Would you be able to kind of talk me through that and how that came about?
I think I kind of always had, like, I remember being at floristry school and them asking, like, what do you plan on doing with this, you know, with this degree sort of thing. And me kind of being like, I eventually want to grow all my own flowers and design for weddings and bouquets and things like that. So I had sort of that vision there from the start of using our flowers in a creative way, for my own designs. And then I think really it's kind of been this, like, it's been interesting because, like, I never really had a set plan when we started of how we were going to, you know, get our flowers out of Gisborne and how we were going to, you know, work them. But, like, opportunities would just kind of come our way, you know. We'd be kind of feeling a little bit discouraged, and then, like, we get an email from, you know, our first email from Nicole in America. She had us a design studio, Soil and Stem.
Oh, amazing.
And she reached out and asked to do a workshop, and we'd never even thought of that. So then it kind of, we started to do the workshops and realized how much we loved doing that. And then as my kind of confidence grew as a designer, I kind of stretched out and started to book weddings locally. And weddings in Gisborne are never massive, extravagant things. They're just sort of very down to earth. You know, it's a very small town. But it's kind of nice. I actually really like it.
Yeah,
it's not this, like, you know, I've helped out with a few weddings out of town. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is another level together. Yeah. and so just opportunities kind of just slowly revealed themselves to us. So it's not that I've been hugely brainstorming. It's just that, yeah, I just kind of keep my eye out for little opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Head down them.
Yeah. And you've recently written a book.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Can you talk us through that?
Well, first of all, I want to say I didn't write it.
Okay.
I photographed it. I created a book.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I worked with Julia too. She did creative writing for that, as I'm not a very confident writer. But that's where collaboration is so wonderful. And I kind of had this idea a while ago about, did you ever, when you were a kid, ever look at I Spy books or Where's Wally's or anything like that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
They're just really big in New Zealand, because I feel like everyone had them as kids in New Zealand.
I thought too. It was, I felt like it was a bit of 90s nostalgia. And I loved those books. And so I kind of just was, you know, thinking, you know, as I do in the field as I'm weeding away, about, it would be so cool to do a flower kind of lost and found type book. And so I kind of, the idea just stuck, and I grew on it and kind of reached out to a couple of people, and it just sort of started to unfold. Another sort of opportunity that sort of just came and sort of unfolded for us, which was really amazing.
Yeah. So what's it all about?
So it's a seek and find book with a grown-up twist.
Yeah.
And so it follows, we have 15 characters, and each character has been influenced or works or is inspired by nature in some way. So we have the florist, the flower farmer, the beekeeper, the embroiderer, the photographer, and each of these characters have a inspired flat lay with all their little hidden items scattered through. And Julia wrote beautiful creative writing stories about each of their lives and kind of just how they were inspired by nature. So it's a really nice little easy read. And then following that, every flower that I used in the flat lays, there's a sort of a glossary page with another sort of flat lay that has all the names written down. So if there's anything you see on a page that you love, you can get their names and write lists and plan gardens. Or
That sounds like a perfect Christmas present if anyone really is looking for one.
I'm needing to get my skills up of how to word the book and sell it.
No, it sounds amazing. I'm definitely looking out for it. So in amongst all of this, in doing the flower farm and everything, I just want to take you back to perhaps the farming side of it a little bit more. And when you were getting your roses, was it hard to find the roses that you wanted to get, or is there quite amazing rose breeders in New Zealand?
Yeah, there's some incredible rose breeders in New Zealand. Matthews being one of my favorites. I've recently, because we pulled out a lot of roses that we had first originally planted like 10 years ago, kind of give everything a bit of a freshen up as we downscaled. And I ordered in a lot of Matthews roses.
Okay.
Bob Matthews is a really established rose breeder here, and his roses are just so incredible. They're really healthy plants, which, I mean, when I first started out, I was like, I want to grow Julia's rose and I want to do, you know, I don't care if they're sick, but you really care if they're sick. I do not grow Julia's rose anymore.
Why is that? It's so sickly.
It's okay. A beautiful coffee, you know, that perfect, you know, wedding tone, but it's just gets so sick. It gets rust. How much love I give it, it just can't quite get established. So I always, like, over the years, they just slowly die out, and I just thought I can't be bothered growing those sorts of roses anymore. So so that he has a selection of roses that he's bred, which I've nearly got most of them. I tried to get at least one of each this season just to trial all his different varieties. And so that's kind of, I would love to just like slowly get more New Zealand roses in our field, and like especially, you know, really healthy ones.
of course. Yeah, because having healthy roses, I bet, is just a heap more like easier on time management and all of that stuff, because once you're out there every day trying to battle rust and everything, it's just taking you away from other things that you could be doing.
Exactly. I mean, they're already kind of like a bit like high maintenance as it is, so it's nice to kind of just actually focus on those healthy ones that you really don't have to stress too much about.
Yeah. And do you think as a cut rose that they do have a lifespan? Because you've kind of said like after 10 years you've pulled out a few, and do you think that that's just because they've been working so hard that maybe they're just sort of done?
I think you can, if you look after your plants, you could probably get longer than that. We actually got a few like sort of sickly plants when we just started, just like the nursery was unaware of it, and it was sort of a, you know, you can sometimes just get sick plants. Yeah. So we got as much as we could out of them. They had a gall on them, so we got as much life as we could out of it, and they were fine. But that 10 years has really just caught up with them, and they're like, okay, yeah, we're done now. Mainly just like every time like something new hits the field, it's a little bit of a shock. Like when we first got rust, sort of like, oh my gosh, like what do we do? How do we fix this? What sort of problem solving and learning about this new thing that's coming into our field. So there was the rust, and then the thrips. When I first got thrips, I mean, like literally our roses were moving with these things. They were just like,
oh, wow.
They were so infested. And so learning like, well, what do you even do with thrips and how do you deal with that? So mainly just like learning every new little pest and disease as it enters the field, and sort of how to fight it, and yeah, and we try to do that as organically as possible too. You know, we don't really want to throw on a whole lot of hard sprays.
Yeah, and has there been any major influences on you in terms of people that you've looked up to when you've been flower farming or even in your floral design work?
Yeah, lots of people. I mean, when I first started, I followed actually the first person who got me into all of the sort of natural design was Saipua.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to follow their blog religiously when I was like, you know, at my florist shop with purple wrap and lilies, and be like, oh my gosh, if only I could do those designs and dream about a garden and loose designs. And then obviously Erin of Floret, she's been such an inspiration with what she's created with her business and what she's established, and how generous she is with knowledge. I love that, and I've tried my best to kind of, you know, take that on board. In New Zealand, there was such a culture, especially when we started, that you don't tell anybody anything. You know, what you learn was hard earned, and you don't let anybody know. You know,
I think that's across the board.
Yeah. And so I think she really shifted that narrative. She really was like, no, let's open this up, and I think the fruits of that have been wonderful for lots of people, and her included. And so I think, she's been an inspiration, how she's shared her knowledge and how she runs it. So, and what else? There's lots of people. Lots of people I love. That's what I love about Instagram. It's sort of this endless scroll of photos of just inspiration. And
Is there anything that you think that the New Zealand industry could change or grow on?
I would say when we first started out, I would have had a list of things, but I really do think that it's got really good, and you know, people are eager to buy our flowers and support us, and florists are very eager to support flower growers. They're excited about what we're doing. I think there's a really nice relationship growing between the florists and the flower growers. Information is more freely given now. There's far more of a community base now. That's really nice. And yeah, I think we're doing pretty good, really.
Yeah. I would say that from what I saw like 5 years ago, to what I've seen now, it's such an incredible shift in people growing, like growing flowers and starting smaller flower farms and kind of utilizing their big family farms is what I've noticed. Do you think that you have enough support and I guess knowledge base for new growers and for florists in New Zealand?
I think there is. I mean, I know that like Christy Nourish Gardens, she has set up that business activator course.
Yeah.
Which I think has been a huge, I haven't been on it, but I know that that's been a really good resource for a lot of new people starting out. So I think if you were starting out, that would be a really great place to start.
Yeah.
You know, we started and there was nothing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we just kind of, you know, blurred our way through and kind of found our way. And in a way, there is something really good about that. You know, it's, you know, you really just, you learn from mistakes. And, you know, I do think like definitely if you want to get your foot in and do a course or something, definitely, you know, do that. But for us, I really think just, you know, starting small and seeing where something goes and just making the mistakes and being totally okay with it. And I think as you kind of start, you'll kind of find a community around you and you can kind of tap into that. And there's definitely, I mean, there's so many flower farmers now dotted all around New Zealand that it wouldn't be hard to find somebody who's kind of wants to get alongside you, and you can, you know, talk back and forth about the trials and tribulations of it all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's kind of the best learning is that is kind of just like, oh my gosh, I've had the worst thing happen here, and like, oh well, we did this, and oh, you know, like just that, rather than an actual course, just like talking with other people in the same position as you. And
do you see any challenges coming up with the New Zealand market? You know, is it floristry industry or flower growing?
We are a very small population. And the market is getting quite saturated.
Yeah.
So that does make it harder for people starting out. You know, there's only so many weddings and there's only, you know, so many florists who want to buy flowers. So that's, you know, we, you know, our population is so ridiculously small.
Yeah, I know. Like, so, you have less people in New Zealand than we have in Melbourne. So
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, there is definitely, I think there will be a limit at some point of, you know, how many flower farms and florists and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, that's a frustration of mine that we're kind of so limited in that way, because I just want everybody to get on board and do it and, you know, follow that. But that could be something that comes up in the future for sure as a hurdle for people. You know, getting yourself out there when there are so many people to compete alongside. And I think at the moment we're in this nice place where it's far more community based than it is competitive based, which is nice. Yeah.
What do you have coming up for you in the future?
Oh god, that's a tricky one.
Even you can plan for next week. I have plans. Yeah.
I would love to get more people on the farm. I love doing the workshops, so I would love to have some sort of school or education type thing on the farm that I can just bring people to, a space that I can bring people to. That's an, you know, with us being in Gisborne, and you know, the fact that I always have to shift,
like, Gisborne itself is gorgeous. Really is.
It's very remote as well. But if you, it's worth the trek, especially if you want to come to our flower farm. So I kind of want to create an experience for people to come to draw people to our farm, so that we're not having to pack boxes and ship boxes out, but we can just enjoy the flowers here alongside people and, you know, give people a really beautiful, inspiring experience. And I think that's kind of where my heart is.
And have you ever experienced a flower farmer burnout? Did you ever get to a point where you've been like, wow, this is really intense and it's just you and your mum doing it? Do you have any other workers?
We have a lady that comes once a week, and recently my auntie's been helping out, but I have had the burnout so many times.
I think it's something that people don't really talk about. And, you know, people always go on about flower farming being so lovely and you'll be amongst the flowers, but it can be really hard yakka and also quite hard to pick yourself up time and time again if something has gone wrong, or you haven't been able to sell all those flowers that week. How did you pull yourself out of that flower farmer burnout?
For me, I go back to what I love, which is creating.
Yeah.
And so when I'm not feeling good, I'm starting to be like, what am I doing? You know, like, what are we doing here? We're like working ourselves to the ground, and sometimes, you know, sometimes not for a lot of money, sometimes for money, but you know, it's hard sometimes. And and so I kind of go back to my first love, which is sort of that love of flowers. And so that's kind of why I love my flower photography, and, you know, going out into the field and picking a bunch and making an arrangement. And, you know, that really helps with the burnout, because I just remind myself why I'm doing this, why I love doing this, what I'm wanting to create and give people. And it's just constantly reminding myself of why I'm doing this, really, and how much it fills my soul up. You know, it's such it's a
so
wonderful,
beautiful.
It's such a soul giving job.
Yeah.
And so I just have to keep reminding myself of that, because, you know, you get busy and you get, you know, you just start running around all over the show and you burn out quick. And there's always a million things to do, and there's I take my hat off to people who do it with kids. It's incredible. You know, like me and mum running around, and we don't have little kids to look after, and I'm so impressed by mums who can do it too. And so just creating that time to create. And if you're not a creative person, if you love gardening, maybe just like having another section of the garden that isn't about making money, maybe like some vegetables or something that kind of keeps you connected to why you first got into it.
Yeah, that's such good advice. Just to sort of wrap up at the end, I always ask, what would you take from your farm if you had to leave quickly? Farming instruments or farming related? I know you'd probably take your family, but...
Yeah. I would probably take my camera, which isn't quite farming equipment, but yeah, it helps. But I'd probably take my camera. But if I had to take like an item, what would I take?
You could just say camera. That's fine.
Yeah, maybe I'll go with camera. Yeah, I can't think of like, I'm like, oh God, but then I like that plan. And then I'm like, yeah. Like winding it down to just a few things is too hard.
With your camera, can I quickly ask you, were you a photographer beforehand? And how, or did you do a photography course along the way when you were in the flower farming?
I'm the most amateur person. It's all intuitive. I just take photos to where I love it. And I love just sort of like playing around. It's just a bit of fun.
Yeah. And, amazing.
Yeah. That's kind of how I do everything.
Do you find it quite great to have your own content though? You know, I think that's something important for florists and for flower farmers is, especially florists, is being able to have your own photography content.
Oh, totally.
Such a wonderful thing.
Yeah. I would say it would be one of the investments as a flower farmer is to get, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, a really fancy camera, but to get a good camera and a good lens that you can kind of document your story to share just for your website. You don't even necessarily have to post it on Instagram or anything like that, but just like, yeah, it's definitely a really important tool, I think.
Yeah.
As a florist and a flower grower, actually.
Yeah. And that takes me into, what is your favorite tool?
Oh, well, camera.
Great.
But then I would say, actually, we just got, I mean, it sounds so silly, but me and Mum are very excited about it. We got these Gubba bags. I don't know if you know
what that is.
No. It's this garden bag that folds down that you put weeds into.
Ooh.
But it's really, really handy to have, and we've just used it all the time, and it's great for weddings and pack downs, and it holds so much stuff, but it's super light and it folds down in the car when you do weddings. And
amazing.
I'm sold on the Gubba bag. So
is that the brand name of it? Gubba bag?
Yeah, it's the brand name. I think they've actually got a website. I think that their website is actually like gubba.co.nz or something. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. And is it one of those fold down things where you have to like twist your body into like a million different ways to like get it down?
We've had those types of ones and they're the worst.
Always like spring bags.
Exactly. Yeah, these ones don't attack you, and they don't really blow in the wind. I mean, it's, you know, yeah. So yeah, a Gubba bag, I mean, is my favorite tool at the moment.
Yeah, awesome. And what is your favorite New Zealand icon, pastime, or food? Like one of those things, just to put a Kiwi element on this.
Yeah, I was thinking, I saw that on your question sheet. I thought, oh my gosh. But I was thinking about like kid, like nostalgia and the dip, the onion dip. Do you know that? With the reduced cream, the sachet. Is that a New Zealand thing?
Yeah, it's definitely a New Zealand thing.
Yeah,
so
oh my gosh,
it's like Maggi onion dip.
Yeah.
It's
the best.
Yeah. It was at every barbecue, every kind of get together. There was always a bowl of like Maggi onion dip.
Literally. And I hadn't had it in years. And then during lockdown, I was like, you know, everybody was feeling a bit down. So we were like eating, you know, comfort eating. And I went and got my reduced cream and a sachet of onion soup to make my mix. And oh my gosh, I demolished bowls full over the lockdown.
So good. So good. So is there anything I haven't asked you that you really wanted to share about your experience in your farm?
No, I think we're pretty good.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much. I love what you do. And I think, you know, this will be such a great episode for lots of people. It's been so awesome to watch you. And you were so lovely when I contacted you that one time about doing a wedding in New Zealand. And you were very helpful.
Thank you once again to Zoe from Field of Roses for speaking to me. If you would like to get in touch with Zoe, you can do so via Instagram or have a look on their website and you'll find the links to the workshops and things there. Like I said, we have in the show notes this week all the links of where you can find Zoe's book and also where you can find Gubba Bags if you're in New Zealand, because they sound like a great thing, and also the beneficial bugs. Thank you once again for tuning in to Dish the Dirt this week. It's lovely to have you and to hear all of your feedback. If you do have any feedback, please feel free to message me on Instagram, shoot me an email at dishthedirtpodcast@gmail.com. I love to hear from you. If you would like to leave me a review, you can do so on Apple Podcasts. But until next week, I hope the sun is shining and that you are having a beautiful time out there in your flower farms. You're selling all your flowers. There's no weeds. It's all perfect. You're skipping around in linen dresses or aprons or pants, whatever you want. Anyway, go out there and be blooming fabulous.